Welcome back, everybody, to Structured Insights, the podcast that cuts through the tech hype and delivers actionable wisdom to IT and business leaders. And today we have a great conversation. And of course, we continue to have the ever-present Mr. Bill Tracy, but we also have another guest, Mr. Alex Owen, to talk today about AI readiness. So before we get started, just have you gentlemen introduce yourself real quick, and then we'll jump right into it. Bill?
Hey everybody, Bill Tracy, CRO, good to see you again.
Hey, I'm Alex. I'm an AI solutions engineer here partnering with Structured.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time today. AI readiness is our theme. I like to say that if you're trying to be AI ready, you're not really behind, you're just not aligned. And I'm a poet and I don't know it. No, it's just kidding. So I think in this conversation, everybody is talking about AI today. And I think before we jump into the details and some of the depth behind AI readiness, I think we really need to talk about definitions and what that really means. So maybe Alex, you can start off with, when somebody says they're doing AI, what do you think they mean in their minds versus what it really is?
They're probably interacting with some sort of app, whether that be Copilot or ChatGPT. And maybe they're getting some automatic meeting transcription out of their Teams meetings or whatever meeting platforms they're getting. And they're interacting with them, these things to help accelerate some of the knowledge work that they have. That is technically using AI. However, that wouldn't necessarily mean a full integration into the way that their companies do business. And that's personally why I'm excited about this wave of technology.
Well, you know, there was a recent stat from Accenture that said 94% of all leaders say AI is critical, which I thought that's good. But then the other part of that stat was that only 17% said that they're truly ready. And this is from 2024. Do you guys agree with that or disagree based on your experience in dealing with enterprise customers?
I think 17 might even be high. I think it's interesting. And I think what Alex mentioned is a perfect segue because, you know, at Structure, we decided to kind of build an AI framework for how we talk to our clients. And it really started with a cybersecurity focus with our cybersecurity roots around when you're using AI, how do you use and adopt AI safely? And that led to a lot of really interesting conversations, which is the main reason we decided to partner with Alex here, because the cybersecurity is just the tip of the iceberg. When a customer tells us they're using AI, want to use AI, or think they want to do something in AI, we really have to take a step back and understand what their kind of business outcomes and what their goals are, because there's so many different ways to approach an AI project and helping clients transform their business processes through AI and automate tasks and deliverables and outcomes using AI is important, which can also lead into AI infrastructure and AI development conversation. So we kind of look at AI consulting as those three legs of the stool, really between security, infrastructure, and development. And that's where Alex really comes in when it comes to the development side and whether we want to use off-the-shelf tools or develop learning models or co-opt a learning model into a company's processes. You know, Alex's firm can really help us with that development side. And then that might lead into the need for AI enabled infrastructure and additional AI governance and security needs.
So let's maybe go back a little bit though, back to the definition discussion. So, we use AI very generically, which it is a broad umbrella, and that could be, you know, machine learning, could be lots of different things, right? And then we have Gen AI, we've got BI for like if it's business intelligence. Like how should somebody that is trying to develop a strategy start understanding what these definitions are? Because I think to Alex's point earlier, I think it gets confusing to folks where they do use these terms interchangeably, and I think that can be dangerous, right?
Maybe not dangerous, but it might slow you down. It might slow you down for getting to where everyone can be everyone can be pretty quickly. I mean, in terms of AI readiness, like that 17% number, if you ask me how many companies are one or two steps away from being AI ready, I would say we're like at 80%+. So it's good to be chatting about all this stuff. So I draw a line between business intelligence and AI. Business intelligence has been really important. It continues to be important, and it is a very sizable portion of like the IT pie, particularly like at the app layer and analytics layer. AI is very much more like transformational. So business intelligence is doing pre-programmed algorithms and calculations on large amounts of data to basically ask us something like what we would ask a calculator, basically, or pre-program very specific, precise logic on. And we can hook that into networking to get computers to talk to each other, a pane of glass on a screen so that humans can look at and interact with this stuff, and data stores to be able to retain all this information. And that has sent a massive, massive wave of progress. And we've built a tremendous amount of infrastructure. IT is an enormous industry. AI is about increasing the amount of things that IT can do into the realm of what humans are doing already themselves that IT has not been able to. That would be like reading text like a human, listening to a conversation like a human, spitting out audio like a human, looking at an image as a human. So yes, we've had these panes of glass. We've had these, they're networked together. They have a ton of data stores, but now we've kind of given them a mouth, ears, eyes, and kind of a brain. And that is really, really transformational in terms of what the possibilities are in terms of IT and going forward.
But you could say that if they, you know, I've literally heard somebody say this, oh, well, we use Copilot. And I think when you think AI readiness, though, using Copilot isn't a strategy, right? I mean,
it's one of Microsoft's, you know, things that they've said is a strategy. And in some cases, like, that's absolutely true. And I think that makes sense. I use the standalone apps from time to time. The power in it is when it is deeply integrated with the knowledge bases that are in your company, the data stores that you have across all of your apps, et cetera, and is able to program, it is programmed to like work as a member of your team rather than just a tool that you have to go outside your existing system to go have access to.
I'm just curious, before we get into what AI, what readiness looks like, what have you guys seen that somebody has implemented with AI that maybe hasn't been, I won't use the word dangerous again, but maybe is risky, that they've just, because they've now had access to these tools in the AI realm, but maybe they implemented it and they shouldn't have.
You know, I think, you know, one that I've talked to the team about, and for those that don't remember, I'm kind of the tinfoil hat guy, so I always take it back to security. That's why Alex and I are good partners here too. He cares about security, but he really knows how AI works. But, you know, the whole idea of AI is making data accessible and readable and consumable. And I think about the security implications of that regularly when using, you know, there's a concept that using Copilot or using a private ChatGPT tenant is secure and safe because I'm not training the model. That's one component of it, but who is supposed to, or who potentially gets access to data I'm putting into whatever AI engine I'm putting data into that maybe should not within an organization? What if I'm formatting accounting and payroll sheets using AI tools just because I'm putting it into my own tenant? Does that mean that the right security and governance controls are being applied to that data to make sure it's not maybe searchable or findable by those within my tenant? I think of this just like file server system level security and what we've been doing with AD for years. Those are some of the things that people don't always think about when using these AI tools, especially these off the shelf tools or extensions of current applications they're using. what are the security and governance requirements that are in the data that I'm putting there? Because I'm often probably putting sensitive data that I'm trying to format, look at, do something with in a more efficient way into those tools to help improve my processes. But not everybody has a security first mindset when doing so.
Alex, have you seen anything that's just scares you when you see they start using AI in a way that maybe they shouldn't be?
It's less about how they shouldn't be, because I think a lot of the people who are involved in it have like the quality bar, but there's a lot of AI slop out there, like poor quality content generated by AI. It often, you can throw hallucinations in that bucket too. They're slightly different problem, similar sort of downstream effect. It oftentimes gets caught by the like individual contributors at the company that are potentially trying to leverage this. So it's not like bad and really causing huge problems. It can, and it probably is happening. But I think most of it's getting caught by individuals. But it just hurts me in my heart to see people struggling with that, because we could base it off of their data. We could connect, we could build the system to solve the problems that they want. But yeah, the security is also another thing, particularly like when you're feeding it, you know, private sensitive information, you didn't know that was going off-prem and it's supposed to stay on-prem. Those sort of data access and where the compute's happening is really important too.
I thought of a really funny story, Nick, and I can't remember if I told this one before, but speaking of like hallucinations and slop, at the Masters golf tournament, you're not allowed to have cell phones.
Right.
And one of the golf analysts was querying ChatGPT of, are they going to allow cell phones this year? And the AI argued with him for like an hour and cited articles that either didn't exist or were made up or alluded to maybe they're going to allow cell phones. And he kind of posted his whole like hour long argument with ChatGPT, I think it was, that was 100% convinced that cell phones were allowed and they've never been allowed, and even had like proper citations and everything needed to convince you otherwise. And so at a first glance, if you hit that as your first search and saw that, you'd go, yeah, this is, you know, there's good citations, there's good information, it all looks good. So it's a funny example. It's a great example of hallucination, but like, you know, also a very confident hallucination.
Yeah, I think that's what's is terrifying, right? It comes across as it's just fact, right? Like there's no doubt. And I think whenever I think of hallucinations, I obviously we work a lot in this space. So I think data risk, security, the first thing is like, just that's a real problem. Like that's a real problem to take things sideways if the more hallucinations you have. So
yeah, not always correct, but never in doubt.
I like that.
That's good. I also like the slop too. That's a good one, yeah, today. So let's dive into though, what does readiness really look like from your guys' perspective? I mean, some people have big teams and big budgets, some people don't, but at the end of the day, like what are some readiness indicators that people can really sink their teeth into?
I can take that. So I think readiness is a constant process, and the rate of evolution that businesses will have over the next 20 years when doing this whole process correctly is going to be much higher than it was in the previous 20. And there's a ton of transformation over the last 20 years. It's going to be this constant cycle of, okay, we have this new frontier problem, this new process that we have. We need to make sure that we can increase the abstraction for our individual employees to continue there. In terms of like tactically, what does readiness like out the gate look like? I kind of view it in like a few steps standpoint. Yes, you can go ahead and you can get a Copilot. You can go get a Copilot subscription. You probably want to make sure that data is locked down. And so you want to be able to have security and governance and make sure that the idea that your C-suite and executives have around what data needs to be secure is actually happening under the hood. That is an implementation level detail. Structured is more than happy to help you with that. But that is an important setup. I actually think it's like a top-down and bottoms-up process personally. Yes, it's good for the execs to want to care about AI. They need to have their talking points. They need to understand that. But I also think it needs to come from the bottom up as well. Hmm. You can give someone a Copilot subscription. That does not mean that they're going to use it. And it doesn't mean that that Copilot is the exact right form factor. Copilot and a ChatGPT are both just one app. Now, yes, they're trying to make them into super apps, et cetera, et cetera. They're not there yet, definitely not. But the underlying technology is what AI is, not the user interface, right? And so you that can be deployed wherever. And that's why I think readiness is impacted by from the bottoms up, with employees understanding what are the tasks that are really boring, that they hate, that are like copy paste and like very little amount of like decision making. And those works, those things that they have to do are probably their least favorite part of their day. And so if you have the bottoms up impulse from your community, from your team around what's slowing them down, then that's a huge part of readiness too, because that kicks off the process to start identifying how those problems can be solved. And again, it's like this constantly ever evolving process and cycle, from identifying opportunities, trying to systematically solve them, and then seeing what the new problems, new bottlenecks that arise.
What would you say to the folks that are, again, we mentioned the stat of that they're not ready. Should they be start small, measure, iterate, or should they go big, look for the biggest scope, look for the biggest things and try to knock it out? Like, if you're trying to get AI ready, big, small, like in between, like what should you do outside of calling structure, of course?
Yeah. A really big project out the gate seems like it has a lot of risk in terms of it not coming together to, you know, have the outcome that that they would want. I think the number one thing that an executive can do in term one is probably security, but like 1A, like right behind it, is the use case identification and really understanding the bottlenecks in the organization. I like to ask a question: if I snapped my fingers, like talking to an executive or a director, et cetera, if I snap my fingers and next week your company doubles in size of revenue with the same revenue mixture, what part of your operations breaks first and what breaks the hardest? That's usually a good place to start thinking about, like, oh, this is actually an operationally intensive part of our business. There's a X percentage of that work is now clerical work. And so we should probably be thinking to free our employees from that clerical work so they can continue, so they can stop playing defense on updating something in Salesforce based on an email and then go and play offense, which is like going and talking with a customer, as an example. That's how I personally am thinking about readiness, because I'm more technically involved in the implementation and making sure that the experiences and the outcomes are there, where structure comes in and handles like the rest of the security, like upfront and then on an ongoing basis. So maybe Bill has comments there.
No, and I think that just harkens back to your, you know, kind of it's top down, bottom up. It's horizontally across the organization. I think one of the key points of AI readiness, think about, we've been talking about digital transformation for years. Yes, five people what it means, and it means something completely different. But what it is, it's really about using technology to further enhance your business, make you more operationally scalable, make you more efficient, better net profit at the end of the year, right? The goal for most organizations. So I think AI is like the hyper accelerant of that opportunity, but it takes buy-in across the entire organization. I need the input of front of line business leaders and team managers on what they can do in their team. I need input from the members on those teams that are doing these tasks every day. I need board and executive level buy-in from a time and an investment standpoint that it's going to take to accomplish these things. And so kind of having, it's almost like I see it as a AI board and AI oversight committee within the organization that has leadership representation from several different aspects of the business. And that's where it also speaks back to starting big is going to be really hard. I can't have an AI board of 50 people in a company of 500. Like, to transform the entire business, that's probably the size of group that's needed in these conversations. So by starting with that approach that Alex mentioned of what breaks first, that would allow us to go in and focus on an area. And this is really near and dear to, because when we're talking about like security readiness as it relates to AI, most of the time is not spent configuring the tools. It's interviewing those business leaders, interviewing those folks that are doing the tasks, asking them what they're doing, understanding what they want to use with AI, so we can ensure the appropriate security controls are there. It's kind of the same conversation as we talk about AI development. So you have to know what those folks are doing on a day in, day out basis to start to figure out what can we automate, what can we make more efficient, what can we operationalize in your environment to make you more efficient, more scalable, and at the end of the day, as the goal for most organizations, more profitable.
You both mentioned organizations. I'm just curious, is there one team that usually gets overlooked in the process that could potentially be critical to like an early AI win, right? I mean, we've obviously data governance, there's lots of teams and organizations. Is there a team that sometimes we just kind of gets left behind or forgot about?
I look at it horizontally, like a cross role. And where the things, when I'm talking with customers, I'm trying to figure out where's the clerical work for all of the employees for all the different job functions. I think in terms of teams being left out, I think like the first thing that comes to my head there is how ingrained is IT into the problems and workflows of the different parts of the organization. Because I think IT is going to be more merged more deeply. These apps are going to be providing us way more value 5 years from now than they were now, or even the change in the last 10, right? So that's when I hear teams and overlooking, I'm actually thinking about like not seeing all of the potential like user interactions with IT, because the IT is now apps as well that your IT department isn't specifically like watching and controlling. But broadly speaking, lots of back office work is going to be accelerated. What is customer support is probably going to be turned into more like customer advocacy, customer success, and then more in like sales and marketing. At like those individual roles and functions are not going to be automated, but they're going to be abstracted out of a lot of the mundane stuff and then go play offense for customer success, customer advocacy, that sort of stuff. But I do think that that's like kind of a consensus view by those who are in the industry, who are at least seeing the AI. But like, I think it's the clerical work overall.
I love it when we're all on the same page, because I was in the back of my mind, I'm going, it's finance, ops, and customer service are kind of three of the low hanging fruit targets here. And you know, answering your question a slightly different way, you know, I think, you know, 10 years ago, this conversation would have been very different, assuming AI was around. I think to this point in most organizations, IT has some foothold criticality to every division of the business at this point, whether you're a frontline phone answer, a warehouse, you know, picker, you know, whatever job role that is, IT has involvement. But I do think from, you know, those teams are probably the most ripe for transformation, because they're using IT tools and applications still to get their job done, but we really haven't transform that job much. You know, we've got levels of efficiency. Okay, now I can scan, it goes into a database quicker, it automatically prints out labels, you know, whatever. Or, you know, but at the end of the day, a lot of the operations, finance, and back office stuff is still being heavily augmented with people. We have the tools more visible, we've deployed BI, we've deployed systems that give us better access to the data, but I still need that person reading, interpreting, and then making decisions based on that data. Can I use AI to help me with 95% of those decisions and then, you know, focus on the human element of those last 5%, you know, plus the oversight of those decisions that have been made, for example.
Yeah. And AI, I think, is really great at turning human readable content into something that computers can read and then better pipelined into the rest of the IT machine and factory. And so it's not a coincidence that the three areas that he just mentioned, operations, finance, and customer success or support, are very human to human readable interfaces between one company, maybe internally with operations, but then also externally, vendors, support, finance, sending out invoices, etc. And so these are oftentimes human to human mediums, i.e. an invoice, a PDF, an email, customer support message, that now we can have AI sitting on either side to help translate back that into the conventional IT stack to be able to optimize that. And so that is what this layer of technology is enabling to accelerate.
Do you think, to that point though, and I mean, I'd say the other organization, we've talked about this before, Bill, is, you know, like HR, right? Like it's the doesn't get talked about a lot, but it obviously is very people heavy typically. Do you think though, because of those types of organizations and digging in there, and to your point, Alex, I mean, it replaces to some extent, do you have to deprogram fear a little bit first about AI?
My first thought is I think there's absolutely elements of that. I think Alex has, you know, been maybe involved in some more of these conversations. I'm curious your thoughts.
I've heard that people are worried about it taking their job. I'm a software engineer, so we haven't talked about software engineering, but software engineering has been changed more, at least on a broad level, more than anything in the world to AI so far, except maybe offshore calls and support centers. I've gone through the ups and downs of all that. It's like, what does the nature of my job mean in the future? So I can't fault anyone for doing that. Now that I've really seen and understood more of it as it's played out, I don't personally have those concerns. I realize that we are jumping up a level of abstraction. And that has been pretty much the history of technology. We're not writing letters to each other anymore. I'm not going through a filing cabinet and spending 20 minutes to go find this thing that I could have just searched with a keyword on, like in Excel or like in our Microsoft OneDrive or like whatever, right? So there's, and I think that is just like the arc of progress in some way, shape or form. This is not moving fast enough to, I think, cause this like singularity concern. And I really think the opportunity is in the hands of the individuals to help, like kind of in the bottoms up way, improve their like work life by helping their leaders augment them out of the parts that they do not like about their job, so that they can be operating at their highest capacity, their highest level sophistication for a higher percentage of the job. Like a doctor, we hired. Like a doctor has a job because they have a medical degree and they're there to help solve like really interesting and difficult problems. They're not there to be handwriting notes and entering it into an EHR. That's not why they were hired to do. That's the cost of doing business. That is just like on pre-AI what they had to do. But now we can send them to start working at the at higher level, not capacity, but higher level of capability, intelligence, et cetera. Hmm. And so it's kind of like, go ahead and do your life's work. Like, why is it that you want to be doing the job? Go in and do that. The things that AI is going to assist on is probably not why exactly you're excited about doing the job. That's how I'm thinking about it, and how I've realized that I don't actually enjoy typing on the screen. I like seeing the code run. I don't actually like doing all the typing. So,
all right. Well, we're gonna end with a couple quick. They're quick structured insights. You're going to answer these things here. So if you're a business, what's one red flag that tells you that you're not AI ready?
You have a bunch of different legacy software that doesn't have APIs, that probably is on-prem, has not been updated in a while. That's a big red flag for me. It's a huge opportunity to fix it, but you are definitely not hitting... You're not firing on all cylinders if that's the case.
Right. Okay. That's a great red flag. So what's one signal that like one sign that you're on the right path to AI readiness?
Just from a super abstract perspective about the process would be your employees are coming to you proactively about problems that they'd like to solve with AI.
That's a great one. All right. What's one common myth about AI that you just wish would go away?
That AI is going to replace all of our jobs.
I would agree. That's a good one. All right, last one. You guys both talk to a lot of business people. You talk to a lot of executives and leadership. What's one sentence, phrase that you would say to convince a skeptical CEO to actually get serious about AI readiness?
I think that the opportunity with AI allows your organization to grow and scale much more efficiently and much more profitably.
Whatever CEOs ask me that question is has a bunch of different things that they've that they're worrying about right now, and they've worried about over the last, you know, 10 plus years in their career. I'm 29 years old. I've lived through the mobile wave, the cloud wave, social media wave, and broadly speaking, IT. Yes, later, like after the dot-com boom, I was five. But and I'm making a forward statement, like looking throughout the rest of my career. This is the wave in IT for the entirety of my career. It's not just going to be a five-year thing. It's going to be this constant process. It is here. It is not going away. This is the worst the models will ever be. Getting AI right is going to probably be the number one most important decision that a business maker will make over the next 10 to 15 plus years. You can ignore it now and deal with it from behind 5-7 years later, or you can be proactive and go win now. It's not going away. They're flashing the pan sometimes, broadly speaking, with demos and like the public saying like, oh, ChatGPT didn't do this right thing for me, right? These things are getting better. They're getting really good. And it's a massive tool to help you in your company, help you in your positioning in your industry and everything like that. This is the decision.
Yeah.
Do you want to be Music Warehouse or Sam Goody? Or do you want to be Amazon?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank God. Alex probably doesn't even know who Music Warehouse and Sam Goody are.
I do.
I do not. I know Barnes and Nobles, but so if you gave me a Borders and Barnes and Nobles, I was right there.
You know, Blockbuster Video.
Oh yeah. A staple of my childhood. Friday Blockbuster runs.
Yeah. You know, Alex never owned a CD book in his car that had, you know, 100 pages with four CDs in.
No, I had a small one. I was more of the USB like pin drive thing where you throw a mixtape on.
Vinyl's back.
I know. My son just got his girlfriend a record player for her birthday. Vinyl is back.
I've used AI to create vinyl records of all AI music before. So it's
really,
yeah, it's solid. It's, you can write music, you can produce music, you can put it on vinyl. Yeah.
I'm thinking about buying some vinyls actually.
Yeah. it's a wave. So, well, gentlemen, obviously I think some key facts around AI readiness. One, that AI is not just a shiny tool for people to use. It is an operating model, I think is the words, Alex, you were saying. And readiness isn't about rushing and doing giant projects at once. It means aligning people, process, and the potential, to your point, Bill, to make more profit and make more money and do better for your business, your people, and, you know, just the general well-being of society. So I think, again, huge thanks to you guys for sharing your wisdom. And I think if you want to talk IT readiness, these two gentlemen are the people you need to talk to. And obviously, Structured is very focused on helping businesses take that next leap. So thank you again. And for the anytime you want to listen to podcasts, go to YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast, and Structured Insights will be there. So thank you again, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Alex. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.